Imagine you're a defeated nation. For generations, you've either been away from your homeland, carried off into captivity, or you have returned to rubble. Have known for generations people working to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple of your God, and all the while to be occupied by a foreign government. And then comes a prophet who shares the words, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exalt with all of your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you." All is forgiven. I'm going to restore you to what I intended you to be. Now, if that doesn't put joy in your heart, I don't know what will. I'm sure there were people this morning rejoicing in Iraq about the capture of Saddam Hussein. People who feared that as long as this man roamed the earth, there was no hope for that land, no hope for them personally, no hope for their family. And I bet there's some dancing going on. Now, I suspect there's some people that are sad about that, his followers. The third Sunday in Advent is a very special Sunday. It's marked by having a very special candle, a pink candle, and it symbolizes joy. That a lot of the anticipation of Advent is about our sorrows. You know, things are bad. We need God to come to us. We look for God to send a Messiah. We look for Jesus' second coming to deliver us from the kinds of things we live with. For a new day, for the establishment of the kingdom, for God to really rule in our hearts and our lives and in our world. But it's also a time of joy. You know, I admire the Jewish people so much. And one of the reasons I admire them is they knew how to have a good time. Still do. I've often thought as a Christian, because of their ability to celebrate, I would like to belong to a church like that. I mean, if you look around us this morning, we don't seem too joyful. You know, the question, where is your joy? We don't show it. I think we've been brought up in a kind of style of church where we're supposed to keep our joy captive somewhere. We're supposed to keep it hidden, because if it gets out, it'll just mess stuff up, I guess. Well, you don't have to worry about that when you're around children. That joy just spurts out all over the place. When it's in their heart, it just comes out, and you see it in their actions. They get excited. As a matter of fact, the Greek word that's translated joy in the New Testament is chara. And I have to admit, when I read that word, I thought of that... sounds a lot like that. The Hispanic woman that, you know, coochie, 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 coochie. You know, what was her name? Chara? Okay, there you go. You know, I mean, I didn't understand half of what she said, but she was certainly excited about it. And that's what the biblical word means for joy. It doesn't mean, boy, I've got the joy of Jesus deep down in my heart. Yes, it's down there. Want to keep it. Don't want to let it out. I mean, it comes out. It's excitement. It's enthusiasm. Do you know early Methodists were put down all of the time because they were enthusiastic? Not a bad thing for Christians, I should think. They talked about those enthusiastic Methodists, those enthusiastic Wesleyans. Jesus came to change the whole world. He was the good news. Our life should be filled and overflowing with joy, but look around. Where's your joy this morning? We need to have joy in our lives. We need to have excitement about our faith. If we're wondering why the church is not doing what it ought to do, it's because we don't have enough joy. Thank God for grandchildren, because if you're around them, you're going to see joy. You're going to experience joy in their lives. You're going to hold that new baby as I have. And I had to think of the joy in my heart as I just looked down at that little thing who barely opened her eyes for me. That was joy. It felt good. Excuse me. I love it the mornings when I'm having my devotional time. And without even thinking about it, I just burst out singing. That's the joy of the Lord. See, the Jews liked to celebrate. When you came into the temple to celebrate with the Psalter, the Psalms, you did it with great gusto, with great joy and excitement. They had their festivals and they got excited. I decided I needed to be some kind of Eastern Orthodox, because they still have in their Christian faith part of the excitement of the Jewish faith. And we have this somber, serious Christianity. I mean, we're just a bunch of sourpusses for the most part. But you know, when I look up here, when the praise team's singing, I see joy. But you see, I'd love to stand up here on Sunday morning and look out there and see some joy. I mean, it's an awful sight to look at Sunday after Sunday, you know. Now, I realize you don't have a whole lot to look at either. But you know, we ought to be sharing the joy of Christ in our lives, because that helps us get through the tougher times. And what's amazing is Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4, Doris called me and said, did you make a mistake? There's only one verse here. I said, that's the only verse I want. There were more verses in the lectionary, but I told her I'm going to use those next week. I just want that one verse. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. Now, I haven't been able to get to this place in my life, but I really want to get to the place in my life when I'm having tough times, I'm still filled with joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Paul was able to do that. Many of the early Christians were able to do that. There have been many of those who have gone before us in the faith who suffered immeasurably in their lives, and yet the joy of Christ came forth to others. It was in their hearts, even in the midst of their suffering. I'm just joyful when I work through my sorrow, my suffering, a little quicker than I used to. I feel like, you know, one day maybe I'll get there. That even in the midst of my disappointment, even in the midst of my suffering, even in the midst of the difficulties of life, I will be keenly aware of the joy of God in my heart because of the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be a joyful people. I was talking to someone recently, and it just touched my heart. I almost hate to say this, but I just about soon talk to people that don't come to church as people who do, because they live life more fully. You know, and this person, one of the first things they said to me is, well, first of all, I know I'm a sinner. Well, I wasn't talking about a heathen there, I don't suppose, if the first thing out of their mouth is, I know I'm a sinner, and I said, well, good to meet you, because so am I. And I said, I'd love to see you at church more. And he says, well, I just don't know about getting there with those people. You know, we don't have a good reputation. We're not the kind of people want to be around, because we spend too much time griping and complaining and moping around with a sad face, thinking our seriousness is somehow godly. If Jesus Christ has really saved us for all eternity, we ought to have joy in our lives. We ought to show it forth. We ought to get excited. Last night, the TV was running while I was doing filing. Linwood called me, asked me, was he interrupting? And I said, yes, thank goodness. I'm filing stuff. Not one of my favorite things to do. I love to be interrupted when I'm filing. If I'm filing, working at home, just call me. I love it. Because I hate filing. And so I got a little bit excited that I got away from filing and got to talk to Linwood. But, you know, even in the everyday kinds of things, we find joy. In the background, the TV was playing, and it was the old movie, The Preacher's Wife, oddly enough, about a St. Matthew's church. And it was a black church. And boy, did those people get excited when they sang. And did those people get excited when the word was preached. I mean, they were excited. Now what I want to know is, do we have to live in a ghetto? Do we have to live as deprived people? Do we have to live under constant hardship before we can go to church and get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ? We who have so much, we who are so blessed, we who are touched by the goodness of God in our lives, and we come and say, thank you, Lord, I'm just so glad to be here. No wonder people don't want to come into the life of the church. What's inviting about that? I can be around people like that almost anywhere. And you know, there are a lot of people who don't come to church because we're really not a really joyful, good-natured bunch of people. Now, I hear you say, well, you know, deep down we are. Well, if we are deep down, why don't we let it show on the surface some? The joy of Christ renewing us constantly by the presence of the Holy Spirit should be enough for us. In Galatians 5:22, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it lists love, joy, and peace. Three of the candles, the last three candles of the Advent wreath. Love, joy, peace. These are gifts of the Spirit. It's a gift and at the same time a fruit. Jesus said, they will know you by your fruit. You know, last week I talked about husbands being more open with their love, demonstrating their love, their sadness, their hurt, their pain, whatever it is, so their wives and their children can see that. Well, you know, they need to see our joy. They need to see our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they see us get all wrapped up about a ball game. They see us get excited about that stuff and stand up in front of our chair like that TV set can hear us and go for that touchdown or make that last minute shot. You know, our family needs to see the joy of Jesus Christ just as enthusiastically as any ball game we've ever witnessed. Where's your joy? And I talked to someone a year or so ago, and I started our conversation out by saying, you know, somebody has stolen your joy. And they had a surprised look on their face, and they said, you're right. I said, do you want to talk about it? And we sat down and began to talk. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter, so you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. On that day you will ask nothing of me. Verily, very truly I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Our Lord doesn't want us to just have ordinary joy. He wants us to have a complete joy that sees us through every trial in life. You've got to ask yourself, where is your joy? And are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your Christian life? Where is your joy? Or has someone taken it from you? The real joy of Jesus Christ can never be taken away. Let us rejoice. Gracious Father, if there's anything we need in the life of the church and in our lives personally, it's more joy. Help us not to try to hold back our enthusiasm. Help us to be proud to become Methodists who are accused of being enthusiastic. For our world needs enthusiasm other than at the ballpark or at secular rallies. They need to see some enthusiasm and spirit in the life of the church. Let your joy so fill us that it overflows and others are drawn by that joy to the good news of Jesus Christ that we preach, that we believe, that we live every day. And may that joy be complete. Amen.